I couldn't get any farther than verses 11 and 12 on as I'm for the message tonight. There's so much in those two verses. And verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God," Paul writing to young Timothy, a young preacher, "but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Then verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us as we consider these verses together tonight. Father, we thank you for these good songs and the prayers that have gone Godward, these good testimonies. And Lord, it's just good to fellowship together in your presence with fellow believers tonight. And thank you, Lord, it's already been worth our time to come here. And now, Lord, as we look into the Word, may it be a blessing to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint the Word now and help us to feed on the living Word as well as the written Word tonight. Somebody here not saved, not right with thee. Lord, maybe somebody's carrying a heavy burden. May they cast that burden on the Lord before they leave here tonight and come to know him whom to know aright is life forevermore. Or come to know him in real victory. They've been saved. That Lord, they'll come into cross over out of the wilderness, cross over the Jordan and come into the promised land, the place of victory as a Christian. And Lord, help me now as I preach and give me illumination and liberty. And bless these dear people as they hear the word tonight. May, Lord, we get help. May we feast on spiritual meat, on bread sent down from heaven tonight. And bless and have keep your hand on our church, we pray, and on our lives. Now get glory in this service. And, Lord, may all hindering spirits be rebuked tonight. And stay the hand of Satan from defeating us in this worship experience. And we'll thank you. And Lord, for everything that's accomplished, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we have quite a contrast between the testimony of the young pastor Timothy in verse 11, Paul calls him a man of God, and the testimony of the false teachers that we saw a couple of Sunday nights ago up in verses 3, 4, and 5. These false teachers in verse 3 rejected sound doctrine, wholesome, healthy doctrine. They chose doctrines that were foreign to the teachings of Paul, and they were not according to godliness, and they were unhealthy doctrines. And then in verse 4, these false teachers were proud. Paul called them a bunch of ignoramuses because they're know-nothings. And then they ask doting questions, that is, sick questions that cause divisions and strife. And then in verse 5, Paul said that these evil are false teachers. They had corrupt or rotten minds. And they didn't know anything about the truth. They were destitute of truth. Aren't you glad, folks, that you've come into the knowledge of the truth? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know the truth? Ye shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And so we need the truth. When we come into the truth that there is in God's Word, we're free. It'll set us free. Free in the Lord. And then Paul said that these false teachers taught that if gain was godliness, that is, success proves spirituality. And it certainly doesn't. But what a contrast when he gets to this faithful young preacher, Timothy. What a stark contrast to these sick false teachers. And Paul addresses him as thou, man of God. Isn't that a wonderful way to have a person, thou, O man of God? Isn't that a wonderful way to have people to address you, O man of God? And this puts him in a great company with spiritual giants in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Moses was called a man of God, and Elijah, and Elisha. and Samuel and David was a man of God. And you know who the only person in the New Testament is who's called a man of God? This sick, young, beleaguered pastor of the church at Ephesus, where he's having to fight and withstand the onslaught of these false teachers, this young pastor Timothy. The only one called a man of God in the New Testament. Now it seems like I didn't do a study of the word man of God as used with the other men in the Bible, but it seems like it's reserved for, this term is reserved for those saints of God who stand 100% for God in the days of apostasy and spiritual declension. But I would like to have that testimony today, wouldn't you? In this Laodicean church age of coldness and apostasy, that Gene Lansley stood for God. And I'd like to live in such a way that people would say, there goes a man of God. Now, wouldn't you folks, wouldn't you like to have that testimony? That around the school or around the office or at home or in the plant, that there goes a real Christian. There goes a man of God. That'd be a great testimony to have. We ought to strive for that. Now, in these two verses tonight, Paul tells us how we can have a good testimony. And he uses three words. He uses, and as I read these two verses, these three words just jumped out at me, and I thought, brother, I've run into an original thought, an original outline. Those three words, flee, follow, and fight, just as I read those two verses, came right out at me. And then I opened my commentaries, and every commentary just about that I had, everybody saw the same thing. It sort of punctured my balloon there. But let's look at these three words tonight. First is flee in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now, he's not telling Timothy to be a coward and run and stick his tail between his legs like a whipped dog and slink off, you know. He's not saying that. He's asking him to separate from those things that would harm him spiritually. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18 to flee fornication. And in 1 Corinthians 10:14 he says flee idolatry. Now Paul is specifically telling young Timothy here in chapter 6 to flee, I believe, in this context, two things. First of all, as I've already mentioned, he said flee or withdraw from these false teachers. Sound doctrine builds us up in the faith, but false teaching will destroy us spiritually. Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We need to abhor that which is evil and flee that which is sinful and flee that which will hurt us spiritually and cleave to that which is good. Then Paul is saying we should flee. And this is, I believe this is the most important thing in this context that we should flee from. Certainly we should flee from false teaching and false doctrine. And we shouldn't have anything to do with it. If you leave this church and move to another community, you ought not join. If you say, well, the closest church is a good preacher and some good people there, but they give to some things I don't like. And listen, you ought to drive 25, 30, 40, 50 miles to find you a church that has wholesome doctrine and not just join the church right close to you and yoke up with that which is spiritually unwholesome. So, but here, and I believe in the, probably Paul mainly had in mind in fleeing, when he said to flee, he meant covetousness. Flee covetousness. Don't get absorbed with a love for money. Because he said here, if you do, it will lead you, in verse 10, to err from the faith. And it'll destroy you spiritually, the love for money. Now notice again, as I pointed out last Sunday night, it doesn't say that money
is the root of all evil, but the love for money. There's a big difference. It's the obsession, the love, the unwholesome love, obsession, greed for money. That's the root of all evil. So if we're going to have a good testimony, first of all, we must flee from those things that will ruin us. And folks, separation is one of the first points that you're going to have to understand if you ever become a spiritual person. Now, you can be saved and just put your faith in Jesus Christ. But if you're going to know God, and if you're going to know His power, and if you're going to feast on the things of God, you're going to have to come out of the world, not just to give up those things, but you're coming out of the world so you can live close to Jesus Christ and know His blessing and His presence. That's not enough to flee from these things. We've got to flee to something. And we turn from idols to serve the living God and to fellowship with Him. So we need to flee things, but flee unto. We must run unto God. I like the verse, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Isn't that a precious verse? Then let's look at the second word, follow. In verse 11, but thou, O man, flee these things. That is, if we're going to have a good testimony, we first of all have to learn to flee. That's negative. But now secondly, there's a positive aspect of a good testimony here in verse 11. Notice we must follow some things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. When we flee in one direction, that means we're automatically following in another direction, doesn't it? We're fleeing from something and following in another direction. Now, there are six positive aspects of the Christian life that we see here. Paul says that we ought to follow after, or we ought to cultivate if we're going to have a good testimony. Let's look at these six things just briefly. Number one is righteousness. We ought to follow after righteousness. This means personal integrity. This means rightness. It means treating our fellow man right. Now here at the church and home and business, school, on the athletic field or in the basketball court, we ought to learn to treat our fellow man right and fair. I like to see a Christian who treats everybody fair and right, don't you? Isn't it good to see, be around people who just treat you right, treat you fair, treat everybody the same way, and treat everybody honestly. I like to be around an honest person. I don't like to get around a person you have to hold on to your billfold when you're around him. Afraid he might be patting you on the back and one hand slipping his hand in your billfold with another hand. The old timers used to say, a person like that, I wouldn't trust him in my smokehouse with a muzzle on. We don't have smokehouses now, but you can get the point there. And I remember what a smoke. How many of you remember what a smokehouse was? Yeah, well, you're confessing your age there, or you're confessing you live back in the sticks. One, I don't know. But I like those. Boy, wasn't there a blessing to go in an old smokehouse and see all those meats hanging up? That's a blessing. But righteousness or rightness. And we ought to have a testimony. People say, there goes a person to treat you right. And then we ought to, in second place, we ought to follow after godliness. That word means God-likeness. We ought to be like God in the way we live. That's what that means. We ought to be Christ-like. And certainly we will never arrive at that, but we ought to try to be like Him. As the song says, let others see Jesus in you. That ought to be our desire as Christians, to be like Jesus, to be God-like. And then third, we ought to follow after faith. Now, this is not talking about saving faith. It's talking about our being a faithful person. That is, we live like a Christian. We not only talk it, but we walk it. We not only lip it, but we live it. And then fourth, we ought to follow after love. That's not a natural, carnal love. That's the agape love that comes from God when we get saved. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I think one of the greatest testimonies we can have is not that we don't smoke or drink or dance or chew or go with girls that do. By the way, I believe we ought not do those things. But that's not the greatest. Listen, you can not do any of those things and still not be much of a Christian. I think that one of the greatest testimonies that we can have is that we have love in our hearts, born of the Holy Ghost for our fellow man. I think that's the greatest testimony you can have. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And folks, we ought to develop love toward our fellow man. As Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another. Folks, we need to be kind to each other. I mean, if we're saved and we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we ought to be kind. That's the next thing is patience. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts, then will teach us patience. And that is, we don't fly off the handle all the time. We don't go around just snapping at people when something doesn't go right. That's not Christ-like. That's not of God. That's of the flesh. That's carnality. That's not the Spirit of Christ. And folks, we need to be patient with each other. As I started to quote the verse, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Aren't these, this is pretty good advice Paul gave that young preacher, isn't it? Pretty good advice. I need to follow it and you need to follow it. The preacher needs to follow this advice too. I mean, when I'm preaching with one finger out like that, I got about three pointed back at me. I need to follow this advice too. And then the sixth thing we need to follow after is meekness. Now, I know what meekness is, but I don't know how to tell you what it is. It's a hard word to define. That doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to go around and be a floor mat just letting people walk on us. That's not what that means. Galatians 5 lists meekness as one of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Some say it means gentleness. That may be so. I'm just not sure exactly what meekness, how to describe it. I know this, it's the opposite of pride. It's the exact opposite of pride. When we put the Lord first in our lives, when we love our fellow man as ourselves, that won't leave much room in our hearts and lives for a selfish spirit, will it? I believe that's what it's talking about. It is one that's given over to God and loves his fellow man, and unconcerned about self. That's a meek, I believe, a meek spirit. Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He said, now here's what God says. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Who does God walk with? The contrite, humble spirit. So if we are going to walk with God, we have to have a meek, humble, contrite spirit. And God says to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Folks, if I know anything about God, and I believe I know a little bit about the Lord, a little bit, I don't know near what I should. I know this, if you want to be blessed of God, you're going to have to humble yourself and come down before God. And if you're not willing to humble yourself before God, you will never know much about God in your life. As 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The way, as I've said many times, the way up in God's sight is the way down. You have to come down and humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I'm nothing without you. And you're not anything without the Lord. You're a goose egg without Jesus, without the Lord. You're nothing in yourself without Him. All our righteousnesses, boy, if all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, how must our sins be in God's sight? So we need to humble ourselves before God if we're going to know God and have His power in our lives. So we ought to follow after these six traits. See six character traits here in verse 11 if we're going to have a good testimony for Jesus. So if we're going to have a good testimony for Christ, we must flee, we must follow, and thirdly, we must fight. We're in a battle, not an armed conflict, we're in a spiritual warfare. Methodist recently took the songs like Onward Christian Soldiers out of their hymn books. These liberal pacifists thought it was too militaristic. But folks, when we get saved, we're in a battle. I mean, if you don't realize you're in a battle, I mean, the devil's already got you. But when you really get saved and start living right, then you will be in a battle. Notice, fight, in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, people say, well, preacher, I didn't have any trouble, it seemed like, till I got saved. Have you ever heard that before? I'm sure you have. I've heard that many times. But you know why that you didn't have any trouble before you got saved? The devil already had you then. But you get saved, start living right, start praying, and start serving God, and Satan is an enemy of God. And then Satan will start fighting you. But if we'll take on the armor of God, and as we find, I won't go down all those pieces of armor in Ephesians 6, 12 through 17. I was going to do that tonight, but if I do, we'll be here for another 20 or 30 minutes. But if you will put on the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes of the gospel of peace and the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we can win this battle and be a victorious Christian. Then notice in verse 11, or verse 12, Paul said, lay hold on eternal life. Timothy, weren't you already saved? Yes, Timothy's already saved. He was already a man of God. But Paul was saying, Timothy, live an abundant, victorious Christian life. Walk with God. I mean, get something out of this Christian life. I want to go to heaven someday when life is over. But I want a little bit of heaven in my soul today. I want to, as the song said, I want to live above the shadows. I don't want to live down under the burdens and the shadows. I want to live above the shadows. I hadn't heard this in a long time. The Chuck Wagon Gang used to sing the song, Every Day I'm Camping in the Land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey the wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory. Glory, hallelujah. I've found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Now, that's not talking about going to heaven. That's talking about, brother, you've burned the bridges, you've crossed over the Jordan, you've got over into the promised land of blessing, and you're walking with God, and you're walking in God's power, and you're living close to the Lord, and He's helping you fight your battle. That's Canaan land. That's the promised land the Word of God talks about. It's not heaven. It's being over there and in the power of God, fighting the battles and winning the battles in the power of God. And that's Canaan's land. That's where I want to live. Camping in Canaan's land. Now Paul said, Timothy, in verse 12, he said, you've professed a good profession before many witnesses. Don't you want that kind of testimony, folks? That you possess, you professed a good testimony before many witnesses. I want it to be said of me that I profess a good profession and have a good testimony before many witnesses. And that's why I preach the separated life. That's why I preach you ought to live the word, live right and read the word and pray. I want the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to have a good testimony. So if we're going to have a good testimony, we must first of all flee evil things. And then we must follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then we must fight the good fight of faith. And when Paul came to the end of the way, listen to what he could humbly say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Right before Paul's head rolled off on a Roman chopping block, listen to what he said. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I want to say that when I've come the last mile of the way, I have fought a good fight. And then I want to say this, I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And then Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. So may the Lord help us as Christians to live in such a way that when our short day is over on this earth, that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We need to flee those things that would harm us spiritually. We need to follow after those character traits, those positive character traits of righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, meekness, love. And then we need to fight the good fight of faith if we're going to have a testimony for Jesus Christ. Is God speaking to your heart? I hope these two verses have been an encouragement to you to have a good testimony for Jesus Christ. We're going to sing All to Jesus I Surrender just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. And if God's speaking to your heart, if there's some spiritual need in your life, or if you maybe you're here tonight and you're not even saved, maybe you need to come to this altar, get on this altar tonight, and settle it. Maybe a Christian's here, you need to just come and pray about something. Maybe the devil's fighting you, and you need victory over something in your life. Or maybe there's a problem you face, and you just want to come and pray about it. We're going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. You just get up from where you're seated. Come right on. The altar's open. You ought to make use of this altar. Come and cast your burdens on the Lord and let Him sustain you. Just slip right on out, come on down. All to Jesus I surrender. Come on, right now.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Slip out from where you're standing.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
I surrender.
To Thee,
burden on your
heart.
Come on,
I surrender all.
Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Let's stand and sing that next verse. Let's stand and sing. If anyone else, if God's speaking to you, need to come. Come on. Come on. Just move out where you're standing. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. What number is it, brother?
308, Thursday.
308.
308. What verse?
Third.
Verse 3, 308.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender.